Sometimes we have moments as we're reading scripture that strike us as telling us the whole story. And though we know what goes on after this, there's something very, very striking in this particular passage. I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. You will all become deserters because of me this night. Can you imagine that level of love that anyone could have for you? Jesus sat at a table with the one who would deny him on one side and the one who would betray him on the other, and ate with them, made that meal a sacred space with them. And then after they'd finished the meal and they were all going off to the garden, Jesus says to every single one of them, "You will desert me." Can you imagine that level of love? That he would still go to the cross, that he would still experience the agony of his beatings for us, for them, even though he knew every single one would desert him. Can you imagine that kind of love? But it's not just for them. It's for you and I as well. Just as I told the children, I'm telling you, God created you, in case you need to wonder, just as you are, and loves you just as you are, and died for you just as you are. But I guess our question is, if we were there, do we think we could have been any different than any of the disciples? Could we have stayed and fought the fight? Could we have gone and had other crosses hung beside our Savior and hung on them ourselves? Could we have died that death so that Jesus would not die alone? Jeff, if that's his correct name, Gorsuch, tells us the question to ask at the end of life's race is not so much what have I accomplished, but whom have I loved and how courageously? Whom have I loved and how courageously? So this morning, as we think about that particular time, that time when Jesus is there with the ones he loves and challenges them that they may be his deserters, I want us to think about what has happened since his life, death, and resurrection. I want us to think about the disciples and what they did after that time in that upper room and the Holy Spirit came, and that they proclaimed that message to all the world such that we heard it today, that we have today. People such as Sarah Ramirez, who gleans in California so that those in her community can have food. Or Vendita Carter, who is rescuing women out of prostitution in Minneapolis. Or Mark Burgle, who is helping the homeless in Washington, D.C. by providing them homes for free. We're coming upon the Boston Marathon, and we have people who are courageous fighters and who are standing Boston strong, as they call it, as they prepare for the next one and can witness to the ones who stepped in front of them before so that they would not be injured, or came and rescued them. And then even just this past week in Pennsylvania at the school stabbings, a member of the school tells us these people stepped up in the face of confusion and terror to help each other, doing everything from pulling a fire alarm to tenderly nursing victims' wounds to subduing the alleged attacker to now rallying and providing comfort to their neighbors. Matt, a student, saw teachers pulling students outside to safety. Some had the idea of asking for everyone's hooded sweatshirts, hoodies that we sometimes see as those places, hoodies as something as a symbol of terror, and hoods became tourniquets for lives. One girl tells us that her best friend stepped in front of her and he got stabbed in the back. We heard story upon story. The biggest thing right now is really just to be around and to be present. Many of these students just need to feel the love and safety of their family and friends to be able to grieve with their community. Heroes, disciples of Jesus Christ, go into the fray. Do not desert the fight. I can go on and talk about youth gathered in a fellowship hall packaging meals for those who are in need of food. Or people who could walk, some very fast and some not fast at all, and some maybe just a few steps, so that brain tumor research and surgeons and others can have the resources they need so that people don't have to die from cancer or brain tumors. Or the ones who go and visit a friend who hasn't been visited in a long time. The volunteers who step into the schools, who package gifts for teachers, who provide sneakers for students so that they can do PE. Church, as followers of Jesus Christ, we always have that choice. Do we go into the fight knowing that the possible outcome could be our death, whether it be physical, spiritual, socially, or political? Or do we desert Jesus at the time when our voice is most needed for those who do not have a voice? I can't help but think about Angie and Ruin Creek Animal Protection and all the others in our community who do their best for the creatures that have no voice. And the fight that they fight continually so that God's creation is not harmed. If we claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, we too need to go into the garden. We too need to face the things of the world that are evil. And we need to proclaim the message of hope and peace and love, and that God wins, that love wins. We can either choose to be deserters, or we can choose to be followers. We can stand with our families in those places where they need to be standing. We can be like Gary Locklear, who's a missionary we've supported, who stands in Roberson County year after year after year, working as a missionary here in North Carolina, hoping that his work will transform lives, and it has. We all have moments when we are challenged in our daily walk to either go into the fight or to desert the field. And we might say, well, it was easy for Jesus to do that. He was the Son of God. But Jesus was not only fully God, he was fully human. When he went into that garden, that place called Gethsemane, he prayed. He prayed hard, and his pain and his agony is evident in every word of Matthew's gospel. And before we sing our song, Go to Dark Gethsemane, and I'm going to ask you to sing that one seated. It's a difficult hymn, and I want the words of the hymns to sink into your hearts. I want you to hear this final image of Jesus. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. And then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. And then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So, you could not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." You are loved that much, in case you ever wonder. Let us turn to Go to Dark Gethsemane. It's hymn number 290, and you may